Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Wednesday. Hey, praise God, it's Wednesday already. Thank you for joining us. We're tuning into God's frequency. You see, God is always broadcasting. This is WGOD. If I owned a radio station and if those call letters were available, man, oh, man, that's what my station would be, WGOD, because I can remember back in the old days tuning in this thing that was called a dial on a radio where you would maybe traveling somewhere and you get static and you turn and turn and turn, and then finally you'd hear something. You see, this is how it is with the Word of God. God is always broadcasting. Let's tune in our dials here today to His frequency. It's going to come through the Apostle, Well, we're in the book of Acts, written by Luke the Apostle. He'll be bringing us, he will be writing down. He was Paul's traveling companion, and he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then the sequel to Luke, the book of Acts. That's where we're in here in our study. We're in Acts chapter 9. We're looking at the dramatic conversion of Saul, later known as Paul, the author of 13 books of the New Testament, the Christian scholar. Man, oh man, what a great combination to have a scholar, someone who knows the Word of God inside and out, a scholar and someone that's driven and compelled by love, L-O-V-E, love. Add those two together. Someone who knows the Word of God, who can defend the Word of God, and yet is driven by love. Awesome combination here. We are in the book of Acts, where this is part two of this sermon here, the dramatic conversion of Saul. Tomorrow and Friday, you'll hear the sermon from Pastor Darren that he preached this past Sunday. You guys are invited on Sunday. We would love to see you for our service on Sunday. I will be in Acts chapter 10. We'd love to see you here tonight, Wednesday. We are in Titus. I will be teaching out of chapter 2, verse by verse. You are invited, 6 o'clock. If it's 5:30 in the afternoon, you guys still have 27 minutes to make it to church tonight. We would love to see you as we tune into God's frequency. Let's do that right now. Let's look at the dramatic conversion of Saul. God says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And you try to resist and stubbornly try to go in your own direction instead of walking in obedience. And each time you resist, the spike jabs you, the spike jabs you and jabs you and jabs you. Do you know any stubborn people like that? Wish I had a pin. Pin. Do you know any stubborn people like that? Everyone's awake now. Jesus put it this way. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy." That's E-A-S-Y, in case you forgot how to spell that. The yoke, the same thing that got a cattle or an ox in trouble, Jesus says, it's easy. See, he's pulling the load. All you got to do, he says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Let him lead you. It's easy, he says. My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You just need to go in the direction that he's going. Walk with God. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God translated him. That's where Gene Roddenberry got Beam Me Up Scotty from. It means to be transferred, translated from one place to another. Just like last week, Philip the evangelist, remember? When it says he was translated from one place to another, 30 miles away, same idea, this word rapture. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, God is going to whoosh, up we go, out we go out of this evil world. Walk with God. You just need to be going in the direction that he is going. Are you doing that? Are you going in the direction that the Lord's leading you? If not, you see, that's when you get the spike in the back of your neck. And the bad news is for you today is that God is long-suffering. Not willing that it, well, long-suffering. And that is he'll just, he's not in any hurry. Sorry. He waits for us to keep on trying to rebel, go in the other direction. And you keep on getting this spike in the back of your neck. Like the people that keep getting shots for insulin, the diabetics. You know, they got all of these spots on their legs from keep taking the shots over and 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 over again. My yoke is easy, he says, and my burden is light. Walk with Jesus. That's all you got to do. You love what God loves. You walk with Jesus by going in the direction he's going. He's heading towards heaven, and he's taking as many people with him as he can. And you are his hands and feet. I want you, is what he says. That's the direction he's going. And that's where he's going to be looking when he comes back again as well. Now, back to Saul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. All right, so Jesus is saying that Paul's refusal to believe was stubborn rebellion. You see, now I see that he has been made aware of this a long time ago. He's been stubborn too, same as I have for all these years. It is hard for you to kick against the goads, meaning he has showcased Jesus to him for a long time. But he's been stubborn. He's got no excuse. Paul's refusal to believe was stubborn rebellion. That's where all of his troubles were coming from. For that matter, that's where many of your troubles emanate from as well. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Question, are you guys and gals and people watching, are you tired yet of the spike that's stuck in your back, the back of your neck? Sooner or later, it would just break the will of the animal and they would just walk in unison. He says, my yoke is easy. How difficult is it for you guys to love what God loves? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. You love God. You hate sin. You try to do the right thing. Let God use you to be a light in a dark and an evil world. My yoke is easy, he says. My burden is light. L-I-G-H-T. Light. It's not difficult. Verse 6, so he, trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, now you see a man who's not going to kick against the goads now. Now he finally says what took me nigh on, I don't even, too many years to remember to make this statement. All right, Lord, what do you want me to do? How many years did it take you guys to get here? Are you there? All right, Lord. All right, Lord. I'm done running. I quit rebelling against you. Every time I do that, I fail. I'm tired of failing. I'm tired of going against the wind. All right, Lord, what do you want me to do? So the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him, they stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. Wow. So here's Saul, the great persecutor of Christians. He's blind now, won't eat, won't drink. His whole life has been literally turned upside down by seeing Jesus face to face. And totally humbled. He can't even walk now. People have to lead him by the hand like a little child. What a fall. We could call Saul now Humpty Dumpty. Had a great fall. And even all the king's horses can't even put him back together again. He's blind. He's at the absolute end of his rope. He's in total shock. Imagine that. Jesus is real. I was at his funeral. And here he is in the sky. Jesus is real. He's alive. And now he's just learned that he's been fighting against God now. Wow. How that must have felt, huh? You weren't just fighting against people. You were fighting against God. So, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now, verse 10. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus whose name was Ananias. And he said to the Lord in a vision, and I'm sorry, to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. Now, Straight Street is still there to this day. In a vision, Jesus goes on. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord. Okay, Ananias is now saying, let me help you a little bit here, Lord. Let me clue you in that Paul is public enemy number one. Just in case you didn't see it, here comes now the, Lord, let me help you understand a little bit, Jesus. Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here, as if Jesus didn't know this. I mean, you got a vision of God from heaven, and you say, well, let me help you understand a little bit here. Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he's got the authority from the chief priests to bind on everyone who calls on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now there's someone, I would say, whose burden wasn't light. And his yoke maybe was not easy for him. Verse 17, and so Ananias went his way. He entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me so that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and he was baptized. I would say just like everyone else in the New Testament. So when he received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Now, Pastor Darren laid this brilliant comment on me this last week regarding this. Let me paraphrase. Once these scales fell off of his eyes, he never did fully recover from this blindness. He told the Galatians, I bear you witness, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes for me and given them to me. That's Galatians 4:15. This probably was a constant reminder for him of the day that he met the Savior face to face. This word for scales is the Greek word lepis. It means to peel like a sunburn. So I was thinking sunburn, S-O-N, sunburn. You know, kind of like a welder burning his eyes, right? By a bright light. I mean, he sent me the link. These welders, they can burn their eyes. They can get sunburn on their eyes. Paul had sunburned eyes here. And once Ananias lays hands on him, something like peels came off. Like, whoop. Last time I had sunburn, my wife peeled me like a snake. Went from the top of my foot all the way up here. She had like one sheet like you could have wrapped a side of beef on. Immediately, there fell from his eyes something like peels, scales. And he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Okay, Saul's a Christian now. Verse 20, watch out now how fast the gospel's going to spread and that all things will work together for good. God will take Paul's sin, same as he does with him, he does with you as well. He's going to take Paul's sin and turn it around for good and cause good to come out of something bad, because the Bible says that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. That's great news. God can take your greatest mistake and turn it around for good, because that's what he does. God is good, and he can take your mistakes, missteps, and sins and cause good to come out of it. Verse 20, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard it were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? And he's come here for that purpose, that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength, and he confounded the Jews that dwell in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Sometimes God does it this way. Let me say, most of the time he does it this way. He'll take your God-given talent and he'll turn that around for good. Be it a baseball player, track star, musician, the guitar player, NFL quarterback, singer, songwriter, no matter what it is. God will take your talent and he'll turn your talent around for his glory. He is worthy of all of your praise. He can and will take your talent and turn it around in order to serve him. That's what he does. Look, I remember during the Orange Bowl with Tim Tebow, he had John 3:16 in black under his eyes. You say, oh, that's no big deal. Everyone knows that. No, they don't. That was the number one, the highest looked up Google in the history of Google ever, of people looking up, asking Google what John 3:16 meant. It's a quarterback. You say, that's not a preacher. God can take your talent and turn it around and have good come out of it. Just a simple thing like that. God loves you. God is for you. Saul had a great analytical mind. He was steeped in doctrine and the word of God. Now, he's going to give this testimony later on in Acts. Let me read it to you. Acts chapter 12. 22, verse 3. He's on trial here, and he's going to give his testimony. He said, I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. I was taught according to the strictness of our father's law. I was zealous towards God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons, both men and women. Also, the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I received letters to the brethren. I went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened as I journeyed, and I came near Damascus about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So I said, What shall I do? What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said, Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all the things which are appointed for you to do. Verse 11, And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came to Damascus. So again, sunburn, S-O-N. So God took this brilliant scholar, not a fisherman this time, not a tax collector this time, but this time he took a brilliant scholar and he took a hold of him through his irresistible grace and he made him a Christian. Verse 22, so Saul increased all the more in strength. He confounded the Jews that dwell in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. So look out, world. Here comes a Christian Bible scholar now who knows the Word of God. One of the most powerful weapons on planet Earth is a Christian Bible scholar who is motivated and is driven by love. So Saul increased all the more in strength. He confounded the Jews that dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. See, all you need is an Old Testament Bible and a working knowledge of that Old Testament. That's all you had, and all you needed was an Old Testament. You didn't need a New Testament to lead someone to Christ. All you need is the Old. All you had. That's all Paul had. Like this, Micah 5:2, you Bethlehem, out of you is going to come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old. All you need is an Old Testament Bible and a little understanding of that. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you, riding on a donkey. Or this, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus taught the very same way. Beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them all things in the scriptures concerning himself. Look, you don't need a New Testament to lead someone to Christ. The Old Testament just screams Jesus just about on every page. Last Sunday, we look at the Romans Road. This Sunday, we discover you don't even need a New Testament to preach Christ. All right, back to Saul, verse 23. We're just about done. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. Naturally, right? Like I said earlier, the Pharisees are just like politicians and the leaders in government. Paul's now a threat. And we know that, at least as they can see it, threats need to be killed, right? I mean, Jesus got killed for John 3:16. We lie and then we kill. That's what we do. We lie first about you, then we kill. Verse 24, their plot became known to Saul. See, these guys were furious and ready to kill him for teaching people that God loves them. Ultimately, that's the message. Their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Verse 25, look at how he escapes from this. Then the disciples took him by night, and they led him down through the wall in a basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and they did not believe that he was a Christian, or didn't believe he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, the Greeks. But they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. All right, now let's close this sermon with one more verse today. And that'll sum up right where we're at. Verse 31. Then the churches throughout all of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So here's what we can take home with us here today. The church's greatest enemy was now its strongest defender. God does great work, doesn't he? Let's praise his holy name here today, this morning here in his house. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for using the Apostle Paul to teach us all of the New Testament doctrine comes from him. We thank you. Thank you for showing us, too, that if you can save public enemy number one, then you can even save us, save me, save our friends. Help us to never give up praying, asking you, fasting and praying, asking you to save our loved ones, Lord. And we praise you. We thank you for having your hand on us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this awesome church. Be with this church family here. Watch out over us. We pray for this food as well we're about to eat here today. Bless this food. Thank you for it, Lord. And we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I'll leave you guys with this blessing here today. I hope everyone's going to stick around and have something to eat here in the kitchen. I love this promise here out of the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, that includes saving your loved ones, people that are close to you that you're in anguish over because they're not saved. If God can save Saul, he can save your friend or loved one. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask, all you could ever think, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever, world without end. Amen. And the church family said, amen. God bless everyone. Have an awesome week. God bless.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.